Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today is Monday, May 6th, and oh my goodness, the sky is falling. The Mets got swept at Tropicana Field. Is it time to panic in Mets land? Let's talk about it.
That was the panic button I smashed.
Smash the red button.
Jerry and Charlie.
Welcome back to the pod, people. It's Monday morning. It's time to assess the damage that is the 2024 Mets because they had a tough week. They went 2-5 in their last seven games, a split with the Cubs, and then a sweep at the hands of the struggling Rays, who are no longer struggling. We haven't won a game at Tropicana Field since 2015, Jerry. I was a junior in high school. I was a very different boy. I used to shave my head. No beard. Looked like a thumb. That's the last time the Mets won a game in Tampa. How you doing, Jerry?
You probably didn't have to shave it. I'm good, man. Yeah. It was a tough week for the Metropolitans. They debuted their City Connect.
Look good.
I'm not a fan still. Wow. And then they went down to Tampa and they revealed the best
Theirs
City
did
Connect.
Look better.
They're just so sick. Just
bad timing.
I love it. I love that, like, some spice to it. Mm. Underground graffiti. I'm not even sure the connection to, you know, I'm sure it does connect, but whatever it is, it looks fantastic. I'm a big fan.
Well, you have to really weigh
it out. The Mets would have embraced the purple, maybe, I think.
I do agree it could use a little bit more purple, and it does come down to what kind of person you are. Do you value the artistic value of something, or do you want it to look cool? Because I think the Rays looks really cool, but like, how
number
does
one,
that work?
Cool. Number one, it's got to look cool. You got to look good cool on the field.
Apparently, it's got to look cool.
Yeah, it's easy. Get a cool design, and then you can like wrap the story up in that. That's right. The hard part is making it like a good looking uniform. I don't hate the Mets ones.
You just don't love it.
I don't love it. And I want to love it.
It's also wearing a gray jersey at home is always a little weird.
If they started wearing like purple underneath it, like if they got some like, you know, purple socks, purple shoes,
purple
like undershirts.
Let's bring those back, huh?
Yeah, I'm for it. But let's talk some baseball because it was not pretty.
Jerry, we should get out in front of this quickly.
Let's do it.
So the people know that what they're dealing with. Me and you, we were bad Mets fans this weekend. We were preoccupied. I missed Saturday and Sunday's game. My lovely girlfriend threw me a party for my birthday on Saturday, so I missed most of Christian Scott's debut, which will get a lot of run this episode. Then yesterday I was at the closing night of Sweeney Todd, so I missed yesterday's game as well. Some were telling me it was the worst loss of the season. I heard that you were also away from the TV this weekend.
I was on vacation. I didn't miss it, though. I followed along on my phone watching.
Better man than me.
The At-Bat app is doing wonderful things while I was in Mexico, sipping some tequila. But I did watch Christian Scott start, and I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, I think there's probably one good takeaway from this week. There's maybe more than one Starling Marte.
I'm going to go with two takeaways.
And
Christian Scott that we're going to talk about now, then Francisco Lindor.
Oh, of course. Him as well. He's been swinging a better
pick. He's been clutch. He looks incredible from the left side now. Knew it was a matter of time. Nice to see him doing his thing, trying to throw the team on his back. But unfortunately, the bullpen / starters didn't really give the offense a chance.
I mean, it was kind of just, I made a note in game two and game one here that when Quintana gave up 8 runs, we scored 8 runs. And when Scott gave up 1 run, we scored 1 run. And that's kind of just a good summation of this entire week of Mets baseball. A lot of close games that could have been won, and a lot of them were not won. And, you know, in the blink of an eye, pretty much, the Mets have now not won a series in their last 4 matchups. They went to LA. They took down the Dodgers. It was a big deal. They kept that win streak alive. And then 1 out of 2 versus the Giants, 1 out of 2 versus the Cardinals, a split with the Cubs. And they get swept at the Trop. And suddenly you're 2 games under .500. And it feels like everything's crumbling around you. But I think my biggest takeaway from this last week of Mets baseball is that whether you like it or not, I think this is going to be a very streaky team. Like, there's just players on this team that go through stretches of really good play, like Francisco Lindor is right now. And there are guys that go ice cold, like Pete Alonso and a lot of the starters. And we're just going to have to work around that and manage it. But a thing that has me optimistic is, you know, the young talent on this team that's getting a crack at it. And the biggest name in that discussion right now is Christian Scott, who had a scary first inning of his debut in game two and then really settled in and locked in, retired 12 batters in a row at some point. Jerry, he was the first Met with 6 innings pitched or more and 1 earned run or less in their debut since Mr. Jacob DeGrom 10 years ago.
He looked great, man. And you said it. He started off shaky, 3 straight hits to start the game. The wheels could have fallen off, but he showed some poise, man. He showed some maturity, some confidence in himself, didn't start nibbling. Could have done a million rookie things, and he decided to bear down. And I was very impressed. They really tried, and I love that they tried to get him through 7. Gave him that last hitter, and he had a 1-2 count and good piece of hitting there. But he looked great. His fastball plays, that little sweeper plays. He did an excellent job.
A really amazing note about this Mets pitching lab, and I think that term gets thrown around a lot. We don't really know the ins and outs of it. What we do know is that Christian Scott started throwing that sweeper this year. That's a brand new pitch that he did not throw before in any of his minor league days leading up to 2024. And that just goes to show you that the Mets are clicking on all cylinders. You can see it from Syracuse and Binghamton that a lot of their prospects like Blake Tidwell and Dom Hamill at AAA, they're all having really nice seasons. And it feels cool because we haven't had the sensation of like a brigade of pitching prospects going through the affiliates since that last era of DeGrom and Thor and all those guys. So hopefully that's not too much pressure to live up to for these guys, because Christian Scott certainly looked like he was up to the task in his MLB debut.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't see any like high-end, you know, Grayson Rodriguez type guys coming up. But Christian Scott looks like a stud, like looks like a really, really good pitcher. And they need him because the rotation has been struggling, especially the back end of the rotation.
Yeah, just a lot of inconsistency.
And they need him right now in that this stretch of consecutive games. They have Thursday off, and then 2 weeks later they have Thursday off. But they're playing a ton of baseball right now. So.
And they're finally going to be playing interdivision teams right after the St. Louis series that's coming up. So a very important series coming up for the Mets as they finish off a road trip. And then I think they have Braves, Phillies, and Marlins all in succession. So it's their first real test in their division. But yeah, you mentioned
Braves, Phillies, Marlins, then they go Cleveland, and then they go San Francisco, L.A., Arizona. So this is a very good opposing group that they're going to be facing this month. So
beatable teams, but not easy by any means. It's a good test, I think, for this squad that's been struggling as of late.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You did mention the rotation. I think we should probably start there because that was kind of the story of this last series. Scott had the best start of the last 3 games. Severino had a terrific start in that first game against the Cubs. But outside of that, it was just a lot of inconsistency. Again, the walks were really bad in a ton of these starts. Adrian Hauser loses his spot in the rotation after his bad start. And you just wonder, is the worm ever going to turn on both the length that we're getting in these starts and the amount of walks we're seeing in these starts?
Because how does a worm turn?
I heard Gary Cohen say it, so I adopted it. But I've never seen a worm turn. Do worms have eyes?
They turn. They wiggle. They don't have eyes.
They swarm.
They squirm.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I feel like this offense has struggled. But, you know, we had a big game from Beatty, who has been scuffling since his injury. So that's nice. Lindor has come back, and that was a guy that they needed. So we got those two guys back. Marte looks solid. Pete Alonso's in the depths of it, though. Yeah. So him in the middle of the order, he's an out right now, and that's a rare thing. But he's done this before. He has ebbs and flows, and a lot of power hitters like that go through struggles. But he's battling it right now. Hopefully he comes out sooner than later. But this is a big series against the Cardinals that took him down at not too long ago. So yeah. this is one that they need. They're going to face Sonny Gray again, who dominated, who's one of the best pitchers in the National League. So they got to get the first two, because he'll pitch game three.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Cardinals team that probably should have swept the Mets at Citi Field, if not for some late game heroics and Ollie Marmol leaving in Liberatore a little bit too long in extra innings. But yeah, the starting pitching outside of Scott and Budo just hasn't really been there. The bullpen, you know, showed some cracks in the armor with Jorge Lopez and some other guys struggling this past week, but still really solid numbers across the board. Of course, Edwin Diaz is a bit of a story as well. A couple blown opportunities, one in the Cubs series against Morel, an absolute cranked shot that I was in the stands for and saw, and knew immediately off the bat that thing was gone. And I think that's kind of an alarming thing I forgot about Edwin Diaz, is that when he gets hit hard. And I think in 2022, when he was generating all those whiffs and stuff, you almost forget that if a player reads him right or gets, you know, six sliders in a row like Randy Arozarena did, they're going to manage to connect one. So a little bit of a worrisome showing from him. I'm not totally worried about Edwin Diaz, because I think you'd have to be naive to not expect some growing pains in his first season back after missing a whole year. But it does, it's a little disheartening, because, you know, we had this lockdown closer in 2022, and unfortunately Edwin Diaz is a human being after all, and he's going to struggle a little bit, but I'm hoping he can rebound effectively in the St. Louis series.
Yeah, he talked a little bit about a mechanical flaw where his hands are coming up, like when he lifts his leg, his hands are coming up too high. That's making his arm a little bit lagging behind, which is why he's missing glove side. It's a tweak, but again, he was showing signs of this early with the velo down, with right. The inconsistency on getting the glove side. He was getting away with it, but this is what's going to happen when he's not perfect like he was all of 2022. He's susceptible to the long ball, and when you're in a tight game, that's the struggle that you deal with. But I'm not worried about him, but I would love to see him look like himself for an entire game and be able to dot that down and away pitch to a righty, that slider off the plate away. Even his sliders, like even when he's been successful this year, he's had backup sliders that are not a great sign that his mechanics are locked in. So I still think he's going to be an all-star level pitcher. Give him a two-run save versus a one-run save for a while.
Yeah, I think that's the key there. And, I mean, you know, don't forget, in the Cubs series, he gives you two perfect innings that help the Mets win that final game.
Absolutely.
You don't win that game without Edwin Diaz. And I think, unfortunately, in the life of the reliever, it's what have you done for me lately, not what have you done. Good case of that is Adam Ottavino, who was absolutely, you know, perfect. He had, I think, 9 2/3 hitless innings in his last nine outings before the middle game blow up where he walked the world and gave up the lead in the eighth inning. And you know, like I we've said many times that the Mets are going to live and die by their bullpen. It's one of the stronger areas of their team. You still got good showings from guys like Reed Garrett. Sean Reed Foley looks really good. Danny Young stepped up and pitched some, you know, really good baseball. But if those back end guys of Diaz and Ottavino struggle, And the Mets offense is, you know, producing the way they have been, as inconsistently as they have been, it's going to be really hard for this team to win games. So hopefully they can round it out after this tough weekend series.
We talked about it a little bit, how their walks were the highest in the MLB. It's kind of this thing, but as a starter, we saw it with Severino. Severino pitched fine. He could have been amazing, but he had a lot of walks. But as a reliever, that'll catch up to you in a grander way, because one inning, you know, you have one inning to get throw up a zero. And when you walk 3-4 guys in an inning, it's the damage was lucky to be held at only 2 runs there. And they were both walked in when Sean Reed Foley came in.
Right.
It'll beat you on occasion if you keep doing it in the bullpen. The starters, again, they'll be okay with it because they're avoiding the big inning with the walk, but the relievers got to lock it in and not walk as many people.
Yeah, you said that last week. I mean, you can't live this way forever. The walks are eventually going to catch up to you. The Mets, like you said, they lead baseball in walks issued. Their walk percentage is 11.8%, which is a full tick higher than the second worst team, the Houston Astros, who have been pitching awfully this entire season. So that's not an area the Mets want to be in. It's honestly a miracle that they've pitched as well as they have had with this constant issue pretty much plaguing them every game. And with Severino, you mentioned him before, still a solid outing, all things considered. 6 walks is the career high for him. He limits the damage to 4 earned runs. One of those was the Alex Jackson double, which I think is a ball Beatty can get. They give him a double instead. Just kind of a weird inning defensively all around. But you know, the pitching, we're going to kind of talk in circles for a little bit. That's kind of just how it is. The offense, I think, is the larger issue, the larger discussion here, because this past week, Pete Alonso was the least valuable hitter in the Mets lineup. He was 2-for-26 this past week. He had a ton of opportunities with runners in scoring position, could not convert on any. He has just 4 hits with runners in scoring position this year, 1-for-28 over his last 8 games. I mean, I don't really know what's going on. Pete has these ebbs and flows. We've seen it before. We saw it in June of last year where he basically disappeared for the entire month. But the Mets can't really afford that right now because they're in a tough May schedule, like you kind of signaled before. Is there anything you see in his approach right now that is kind of alarming to you, or is it just a standard slump?
His standard slump they are alarming because he looks lost and he's got a ton of swing and miss, and then he presses a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's chasing at a higher rate and pitches that, like, he makes up his mind, like, I'm going to break out now. And then a ball ends up 5 feet outside of the box, and he gives it the little sword, you know, wave of the wand, little right. Harry Potter style. He looks lost. I'm not worried. I think he'll break out of it. But on the positive side, like Lindor, we talked about it a little bit. Lindor looks really good. Brandon Nimmo looks solid again.
It's every episode now.
And Brett Beatty broke out a little bit and looked good. So they're just not gelling at the same time. And when your offense isn't gelling, you have guys stepping up. They still put runs up.
Yeah.
And then their starting rotation and their bullpen struggled a little bit. That's recipe for disaster. So,
yeah, I mean, this past week, the Mets' most efficient hitter was Brett Beatty, which is a really welcome sign.
I mean, a 2 home run game will help.
Yeah, that definitely will spike your stats a little bit. But I think he's looked a little bit better. He's lifting the ball, which I think is the biggest ask. There was a lot of, you know, just straight into the ground balls as soon as he came back from his hamstring injury. So it was really nice to see him, you know, even if it was a loss, have that great game. Probably his best game as a Met, I mean, outside of his debut, which was pretty electric. But yeah, you kind of killed it there with the fact that no one can get going at the same time. We haven't seen the whole lineup fire on all cylinders outside of maybe that little win streak they had before the LA series. The biggest thing is Pete, but also like Marte and McNeil have not looked good. McNeil has once again kind of lost that approach that I think he was finding again for a couple weeks of going the opposite way, just going with the pitch. And, you know, he had a couple really tough strikeouts, especially in that last game, went down on 3 pitches with the bases loaded. That could have been a moment to change that game. So it's frustrating. And, you know, we haven't even really seen JD Martinez go yet at all. I don't know how.
That's a good one too, because JD Martinez hasn't done a ton. And when Pete's not doing well, you're going to need JD Martinez. That's why you signed him, to step up and help out, because if they get Alonso, then you're up right behind him. They're going to need you to step up. And he just hasn't been there, A, consistently in the lineup enough, and B, he hasn't been driving in those runs. So, again, not bad. Nothing crazy for me. But McNeil looks kind of lost out there, and Alonso are lost out there, and they're two, you know, easy outs right now, and that's tough in a lineup to have two spots that feel like two guys that you would hope produce, or you're depending on producing as well.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Right. Like the Tomas Nido has been really, really good. Like, not really good, but way above anticipation at the plate. And when you're getting that, that should add runs, and it just isn't working out. So, yeah, worrisome. And then this was part of it coming in. They were, when you don't have the home run power of the Phillies or the Braves, you have to have consistency at the plate, putting balls in play, putting pressure on the defense. A guy like McNeil cannot strike out.
Yeah.
On three pitches, basically, with the bases loaded. You got to put the ball in play. If you roll it over to second base, that's, to me, more acceptable from from Jeff McNeil, because he's putting the ball in play. When Pete Alonso strikes out, actually, he grounded into that double play with the bases loaded,
right,
in a big moment. He's just costing the team some, and I expect him to carry the team for a while. So I'm not worried about Pete, but he's in the thick of it. It's going to be a little bit for him to dig his way out, but he could snap out of it and be out. But this looks like a little bit of a longer stay.
Yeah.
For him.
I mean, the Cardinals is the team he usually hits, so I'm hoping that that recipe stays true. But yeah, outside of McNeil, you brought up Nito a little bit. He's hitting the ball hard, but it's not really finding grass so far. And I think the Mets are really missing Francisco Alvarez right now. You know, you forget that you're going to be without him for 4 or so more weeks based on their timetable. And the tandem of Narvaez and Nito just straight up are not getting it done right now at the bottom of the lineup. And also defensively, 7 stolen bases on Sunday for the Rays. That's a huge factor in them winning the game. And you know, it's been kind of a problem for a lot of teams throwing out runners, but I don't think any team has been worse than the Mets. I think we have 2 caught runners this season. One of them was kind of finicky with the runner sliding off second base, I think, in the Cubs series. But there's nothing you can do to fix it, really. I mean, these guys are getting good pitches to throw more often than not, and they're just getting beat. And the Mets are just going to have to live this way for the foreseeable future.
That's the thing. Sevy's quick to the plate, and he's got a good pickoff move, and it didn't matter. These guys are running everywhere. Throws are inaccurate, slower. And for me, the worst sign is Narvaez doesn't look good at framing pitches, which is that's what we've been missing the most. Nito does a fine job behind the dish, but Narvaez, like, there were some pitches from Severino at the top of the zone that could have gone either way, and Narvaez makes it look worse than it is. And he's had the bottom of the zone has always been an issue for him. He just doesn't bring enough throughout. Like, he's not as solid behind the plate as I was hoping he would be. And then throwing out runners has been atrocious. So it's been a tough combination of everything being taken advantage of at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, not to dog on the guy, but you hit the nail on the head. He's 7th percentile in framing right now, so he's worth
it. It feels worse than that when you're watching. Like, as a pitcher, when Severino's struggling with command and he hits one at the top of the zone, and instead of, like, sticking it, you kind of roll with it and just throw it back, it makes it look worse.
Yeah.
And so we need him to steal some, and he's doing it for the other team. So I don't want to dog on him. I think he's an okay player. Like he's a solid backup big leaguer, but you need to step up and you need to harness, and whatever you got to do, you got to lock it in and provide these starting pitchers and bullpen guys that are struggling. You need to somehow, it's your battery mate. Like catchers do a lot more for a pitcher than just pitch framing and throwing out runners. There's little things that they can talk to you about, can do the way you set up. And I know I don't see any assistance from Narvaez to the pitching staff yet. So,
yeah, I mean, to put it blankly, he was 7th percentile in framing. Francisco Alvarez was 85th percentile in framing. And yeah. I, at one point, made a whole compilation of him stealing strikes in the first 5 innings of a game. And that was just routine. That was every day. So I think the Mets are really missing that right now from a very talented young catcher. So hopefully, you know, that recovery is speedy, because you almost forget that he's on the sidelines, but it becomes very apparent when you're watching runners steal 7 bases with relative ease.
Yeah. Again, for me, it's the pitch framing. So that's something that you can lock in as a catcher, and just you may not be better at it, but you may not steal strikes, but you can't give away strikes. So
I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about defense now a little bit. I was really, really, I want to talk about something positive, because it's been a very negative episode. I've been really, really impressed with the way Starling Marte has played defense this past week.
Yeah.
We had that Cubs game where he threw out 2 runners in back-to-back innings and extra innings to basically save the game defensively. He made a great catch in right field yesterday. The bat has slowed down a little bit, but I feel like we might finally be getting like a full 100% effort Starling Marte, who I think that he was easing off the gas a little bit early in the season. And that's been a really welcome change, because we've had solid D at third from Beatty. And then, you know, McNeil is kind of all over the place. Lindor's platinum defense. Bader's been great. It's really nice to get that in right field as well. I think he saved a couple runs, which could have been the difference in a game, but sadly was not. But I was wondering your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah. Ronnie on the broadcast spoke it perfectly, as he often does. He said that's the best sign that Marte is finally healthy, is his effectiveness and aggressiveness in the outfield. And he looks healthy. At the dish, his bat has lost a little bit of bat speed. He does have to guess a little bit more often, and he'll get fooled. But he's held his own at the plate. But again, yeah, the defense is a huge sign and a bonus, because we didn't know the player we were going to get back this season. So it's good to see him. I would like to see him get some more rest to stay on that level. I know they're giving JD Martinez a lot of rest, but I'd like to throw DJ Stewart out there, force Marte to sit, even though he feels like he can go every day. Keep him healthy, man, because he's a much better player when he's at 100%. And you know, he's older, so you have to give him that time.
Yeah, and you know, for all things considered, when JD Martinez was activated, I was really worried that Stewart was going to become kind of a forgotten player and, you know, only get these pinch hit at bats. The Mets still got him 14 plate appearances this past week, which doesn't sound like a lot comparatively, but, you know, he's still produced in that time. DJ is walking basically every at bat, which is really cool. He had a 30% walk percentage this past week, hit another home run that won the game in game 2 of the Cubs series. So it's really cool that we're, you know, gearing towards mid-May, 6 weeks into the season. DJ Stewart has been one of the best contributors offensively on this team. So I do agree. I hope they're able to find him some time, because I personally don't think he's that much of a liability in the field. Like, I don't think he's this prototypical DH. He's not above average by any means, but I think he's serviceable. And the Mets play enough good defense around him that I think you can offset that to get his bat in the lineup.
I think the way they handled him is great. I like how much he's been playing. It's equivalent to like 3 starts.
Right.
In a week, that's great for a bench player. But I would rather see it for Marte or Bader than for JD Martinez, to be honest. And again, I think they're giving JD Martinez time to keep him healthy, because it's important, but I want his bat in the lineup. I'd rather have an 0-for-3 from him than an 0-for-3 from, you know, a lesser than, because the potential for driving in runs is significantly higher when JD Martinez is in that lineup.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say about, you know, this inconsistent lineup, the guys who are streaky and struggling and the pitching just not getting enough done. In their last three series, the Mets have a fairly ugly record. I'm doing some quick math in my head right now. They're 3-6 in their last nine games. All of those games have been decided by a margin of three runs. There's been no blowouts in either direction. The Mets have been pretty much in every game, win or loss. And I think that's something that sticks out to me, because at least there's, you know, they're keeping it close on one side of the ball. Obviously, this is a rationalization of a pretty bad stretch of Mets baseball. But it's got me optimistic, because in 2023, when they went on this terrible, terrible losing skid in June, it felt like they were defeated in games in the fifth inning. And that just doesn't feel like the case, at least from my point of view, in a lot of these games. You know, you had controversy laden in the Cubs series between the throw out at home, which we never even got to discuss. It feels like an age ago. Wendell's play where he could have went to home. He goes for the double play instead. Bader diving for a ball yesterday that maybe could have been played on a hop. It's kind of been just a series of moments for the Mets, and a lot of them have not kicked their way recently. So I'm hoping that, as I said before, the worm can turn and maybe a little bit of baseball luck can turn on their side.
I agree with you on everything you said there. I don't mind Beatty diving for that ball. I'm never going to question him defensively.
Because if he makes the catch, he's a hero.
Yeah, he's being aggressive. He thought he could get to it. Tampa's weird. That stadium with the roof is a tough place to play. I don't mind it. Again, obviously, it was in hindsight, it's easy to say just check up and let that ball bounce up to you. But right. That ball can bounce in wild ways on that turf, too. The Joey Wendell throw, like the double play, that's a tough mistake.
It's a bad mistake.
That is a big mistake. Go home. Get that runner out. That was a hard one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to dog on Narvaez and Wendell, but Wendell has added nothing to this team so far, for real.
It makes you feel like the void of Luis Guillorme.
Yeah. It really does. I like him as a player. I truly do. I like his grittiness, but he has made... He has multiple errors. He's made that's a mental error that shouldn't happen. It's been tough to watch, but I think those things will iron themselves out. But again, unfortunately, all these things pile together and they equal, what was it, 3-6?
Yeah, 3-6 in their last nine.
3-6 out of their last nine, and a sweep at the hands of Tampa against a Tampa team that's truly not that good. They're not that good.
We kind of fixed them. They were coming in as a very
fixed,
cold team.
To be honest, I don't think they're fixed. We gave them everything. We made bad choices in the field, and we walked the house, and those guys don't walk. So I don't think they're fixed, and I just think we let them have three games. So
Between stolen bases and walks, it's just impossible to win those games. And the Mets still managed to keep all of them close.
But to add one more thought to that, what you said was they've been competitive in every game. That's a great sign of who they are, their fight, their character. So I expect them to climb back out of the lulls again and to be back and scratch a couple wins out here. So,
yeah, I mean, it was just a very frustrating weekend, I think, because there are just so many moments that could have clicked the Mets' way had they, you know, thrown a strike or made a play, and instead it just doesn't go that way. I liked Bader's quotes after the dive. He said, "I always trust my instincts. In that situation, you have to go aggressively at the ball." He mentions kind of the funky environment of the Trop, which, by the way, Jose Siri, who's playing center field for the Rays, made, you know, a couple errors, and that's a guy who plays as his home stadium at the Tropicana Field. He still struggles with it as well. But yeah, just overall, a week to forget in Mets baseball. The Cubs series had me frustrated too. I'm not going to get too much into that.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And we're going to look ahead, Jerry, because there's
absolutely
new horizons.
But the Tampa series is frustrating with the way they gave games away. That's not really characteristic of a team that's going to be competitive, and I expect them to play better. So yeah, Let's talk about who they're playing.
They got the Cardinals on deck, St. Louis. Our last matchup of the year with them, because we already played them once at Citi Field. Sean Manaea gets the pill tomorrow. Boy, his stat line this year is pretty interesting. A nice sparkling 3.07 ERA. Do not look under the hood, people. Kyle Gibson will go toe-to-toe with him in today's game. Tomorrow, it's Jose Budo, who we like. Christian Scott and Jose Budo, how about that? Two spots in the rotation for the kids. We like that a lot. Miles Michaelis goes for the Cardinals. Have to hit him this time. The Mets cannot let Miles Michaelis go six innings, one earned run again on them, because that was pretty much why they lost one of those Cardinals games. And then in the final game, as you alluded to before, Sonny Gray, who's got one of the best ERAs in baseball right now, 0.89, takes on Jose Quintana, who threw eight innings against the Cardinals last time. Need that bounce back from him. A very important series for the Mets, because they got the Braves on deck for three games at home. The Phillies come in for two before they go back on the road for a very long road trip that goes through the final week of May.
Yeah, so Manaea has, his walks have been an issue. He's had six starts. Here are his walk totals, 2-2-3-3-4-4. So hopefully we're doing a little climb and now we're coming back down, because that's not his game. It's not the style of pitching that he needs to be successful, and I think he knows that. He's been very fun and candid in his post games, talking about that was the best worst game of my career, followed by that was the best worst game of my career. The team has won his last three starts. They're 4-2 in those six starts. That's the ultimate goal. It doesn't matter how it looks, to be honest. If the team wins when you're pitching, you're doing something right.
Right.
But I expect him to take a step forward. This lineup is not a great lineup. This team is not a great team. He's a better pitcher, I think, than Kyle Gibson, even though Kyle Gibson's having an excellent start to the season. I like what he brings. He's one of those veteran guys that's figured some things out, how to stay valuable in today's game of baseball. He's done a really, really good job on a career resurgence. But I think Manaea is better. And if we had this matchup in the playoffs, we would kill for this matchup where it's Manaea versus Gibson.
Sure.
And our offense should hit a guy like this. He doesn't overpower anybody with anything. If you're patient, he'll have to give you something to hit. I like our chances in game one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking out for Manaea to limit the walks tonight, control the zone. I'm looking for the offense to have a game in game one or game two, because I think you're going to struggle going against Sonny Gray and hope he can scratch out or get a good pitching performance. Lindor, stay hot, baby. I mean, last 11 games, he's been terrific. OPS near 1,000, four home runs. He's got the most multi-RBI games in the past 2 weeks out of anyone in baseball. Need him to stay hot, because who knows who's actually going to click this series, if anyone at all, between JDM, Alonso, McNeil, Marte. The list kind of goes and goes and goes. If Sean Manaea goes out there and throws five innings and gives up four runs and walks six people, if the Mets score eight runs, I'm not going to be upset. I would much rather see that right now, but that remains to be seen. But again, a winnable series. These are the teams you kind of have to beat. Like, if you're going to be serious about this season, the Mets are not going to be, you know, conquering Titans in the National League like they did against the Braves and against the Dodgers. That's not going to be routine for them. They need to start beating up on bad teams, which is what they did in their most recent great season in 2022. So hopefully that can start here, because a tougher stretch is coming up. And, you know, I'm not worried yet. I'm not, you know, pressing that panic button.
Same.
But
yep.
It will sneak up on you. You know, if you have another bad week, suddenly you might get buried in your record. And it's a tough hole to climb out of. Like we saw at that 0-5 start, it felt like the world was ending, because that's a really big hole to put yourself in. They climbed out once. I believe they can climb out again.
I agree. I mean, again, it's Minaya versus Gibson. That seems like it should be a W. It's Budo versus Michaelis. I like Budo in that. And then you got Sonny Gray on day three, which you anybody, any given Sunday, I think this is the term. It's not a baseball term, but you can beat a guy because he can have a hiccup. So they need to put it together and start winning some series again.
Yeah, Sonny Gray.
And they can do that, and I expect them to do that.
Gave up his most runs of the season to the Mets in, you know, their last matchup.
That four spot.
Yeah, only one of them earned, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
Runs on the board.
They put up a four run inning against Sonny Gray. So that's positive. Showing a team has grit. Take advantage of miscues and whatnot.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all. There's not obviously too many good things to say outside of this past week in Mets baseball. I'm hoping that when we check back in Monday, it's the start of something pretty. We got a Braves series. That should be exciting. Winning record against the Braves this year. You got anything else you want to hit on?
Yeah, yeah. What's your take on this whole Kendrick versus Drake stuff going on right now with the rap battles? Have you been following along?
I caught up yesterday, actually.
This is right in the wheelhouse of our you know, Shea Station.
Of course. I'm Team Kendrick. I'll just come out and say that.
Same.
The guy is just going for blood at this point, you know.
The TikToks are hilarious where they're like, oh, yeah, got him, Drake. Good job. And then they're just like, listening to Kendrick, just like
it's just silent.
It's so good.
Here's what if
and he threw out a Bay Area banger.
Yeah, and if you're gonna name your track "The Heart Part 6, making a sequel to one of the most successful,
you gotta kill it
series of rap songs this generation, it has to be good. It can't just be, you know, talking in circles for 5 minutes. And it was kind of mid.
Yeah,
sorry guys. If you're a Drake,
a lot of
stan,
people were drawing,
you know,
the like pedophile. If you haven't dove into it, Kendrick's been going deep. But it was like the sunny, always sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes,
like,
I saw that clip too.
Love that.
Jack,
anyway,
do you have any thoughts? I know you've been listening.
I didn't think Drake stood a chance from the start, and I was proven correct.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, Drake has done a little better than I thought he would do because he's had easier listening songs, like obviously heavy trap beats, but... he stands no chance.
I think his ghostwriters are slacking too. This is an anti-Drake pod, I think. Sorry, guys.
I'm for it.
If you're a Drake stan.
He seems like a turd.
That should be the headline of the show. Seems like a turd. What Mets player are we talking about? Just kidding. It's Drake. All right, guys. That'll
Thank
do it
you
for this
for
week's
that
show. Mets baseball, turn it up a little bit. Let's get the bats going. Let's get some wins.
LGFM in our lives.
Let's go fuggin', Mets.
Let's go fuggin'. LFGM.
FUGGIN. Fuggin'.
Buggin'.
Please win. Start winning games again.
Slap some bass.
For our runner.
I want Kendrick to rap over this.
He could do it. Drake couldn't.
Station.